So welcome back. We are going to continue on chapter 30, and the topic is very interesting, encouraging death. But we spent probably 1.5 meeting with that, and probably each of us felt that how important this topic is and how powerfully it's touching our life. So we'll continue with fourth paragraph. It's in the middle of the page 233. Yeah, please.
Do you wish to acquire remembrance of death? Keep to a strict moderation in food, clothing, and all personal belongings. Make sure that useful things never become indispensable, and study the law of God day and night, or at least as often as you can. Then, remembrance of death will come to you. This remembrance will unite with torrents of tears, with repentance of sins, with a firm desire to change, and with many fervent prayers.
Okay, so what St. Ignatius in this chapter teaches us that it is importance of this ascetical practice, which is remembrance of death. There are other practices like remembrance God. We should keep a practice in our life, and remembrance of death is a very important practice which should be present in our life. And he gives us very important advice, because yes, we can have this desire, yes, I want to have all these tools for growing spiritual life present in my life, but many times we forget that. It's not like something what we are using, even we believe and even we are sure about that tool can help us to grow in spiritual life. There are many reasons why we are forgetful, why we don't use tools which can help us to grow. Even we like that, there is no resistance, there is, and we admit that this is very important for us. Now he explains a little bit why it is happening that we forget those tools, and plus he gives advice what we are supposed to do to keep this remembrance of death in our life. And he says that if we want to keep this alive in our life, this remembrance of death, we should keep strict moderation in food, clothing, and all personal belongings. It means to really take away everything what ties us. To keep in moderation all things which people of the world enjoy in this world. And it's a little bit tough. I was talking about this yesterday, and maybe words of Saint Isaac the Syrian can help us. When he says, I will try to make translation, welcome, that knowledge of God doesn't dwell in body that loves pleasure. And a man who loves own body will not get divine gifts. And he says, like from this pain, from delivery, new life is born. the same way that from this effort, this difficulty, this suffering of moderation in the soul is born knowledge of God's mysteries. And he says that those who are lazy and those who are loving pleasures will get only fruit of shame. And again, he to use or to keep alive this remembrance of death, it is not something what is only in our power. It is some kind of God's gift for us. It's we are given this gift if we are striving to live this life with Christ, when we are forgetting everything, or we are not forgetting, we are trying to get everything aside because of love to Christ. Everything in spiritual life, everything is somehow connected. There is no right. That we cannot separate one activity from the another. And for sure, if we are living like people of this world, even if we have good will, even if we have good desire, we are not able to gain God's gifts, which belong to, you have to empty your heart a little bit, then this emptiness can be filled with God's grace, which activates our will, activates way of life. Does it make sense? And again, if we are taken by pleasures of this world, it's difficult for us to cry over our sins and to do repentance. Then remembrance of death is something foreign for us, and it doesn't bring this fruit for spiritual life we can expect if we are concentrated. Now, one thing is that many times people ask during like this when we have this spiritual guidance or something, they say, well, does God want me to really to give up everything what world is offering? It's really difficult to understand this. Am I supposed to live like almost like a monk, refusing all these good things I can see around? And the answer is yes. Because if I make decision for Christ, so it is decision for God for the ultimate good. And then everything what we keep in our life as important leads us to idolatry. Put God on the second, third, or last place. And again, we are looking on this problem from the secular worldly perspective, and we cannot understand this until we don't try to leave this world. probably remember this. I said it probably some time ago. This is my story about when we were going from seminary to for the winter, for Christmas vacation home. And after this first semester in seminary, and we were looking that, oh yeah, during this break, Christmas break, we are going to meet our friends from high school and we will have a good time. Everybody had the same thought. And on our way back, we were sharing our experience. And this experience was that, well, something strange happened because these our friends were a little bit weird, you know, and different. That we had good time, but it was different. It was not what we expected. And these older ones, sometimes they were laughing and they said, well, they didn't change, you changed. Just a few months in some kind of discipline, which was marked with renouncing many things from the world, caused that we started to feel emptiness of those or of those things we enjoyed before. Yes, it's strange and almost horrifying for some people to renounce the world, to do this moderation in everything because of God. But it lasts only in the, it is only in the beginning until we don't try to taste fruit of that. Slowly we will start to understand and somehow taste goodness of this deeper relationship with God, which is coming to our soul as a gift, as this knowledge from above. We cannot describe, but soul is sensitive to this and likes that. And more you travel or more you go through this journey, so it's easier to say no to pleasures of the world, because we'll be losing interest. All right. Questions or comments? Okay. So let's continue. Greg?
I was just going to say, I've noticed the transition just since last October of coming to this parish and then actually joining and then talking with some of the guys and some of the wives, and we're all saying the same thing. It's interesting going through this and then going through Easter. You walk away with, not even knowing that it's happening, a lessened desire to be entertained. I'm not really interested in watching a movie. I'm not really interested in seeing what's on TV. It's empty. It's a show, you know? And we're all kind of laughing because we were all kind of experiencing the same thing, but we didn't know it, you know, until we started talking to each other. And we're like, yeah, we have no desire to go there, do this, do that, you know? Not that it was anything terrible. It was just, I'd rather read a book. I'd rather study about something Father talked about, or, you know, I'd rather come to the church and pray a little bit. It's a neat transition. So, just to back you up on what you're saying, yeah, we noticed that.
Thank you. So, let's continue in this.
What human being has ever remained to live forever on the earth? No one. I also will follow my fathers, ancestors, brothers, and all my near ones. My body will go down into a dark tomb, and the fate of my soul will become an impenetrable mystery for those inhabitants of earth who remain. My friends and relatives will weep for me, perhaps even bitterly, but then they will forget me. Thus, innumerable thousands of people are mourned and forgotten. They are only counted and remembered by the all-perfect God. Hardly was I born. hardly was I conceived, and already death stamped me. He is mine, said death, and immediately prepared a scythe especially for me. From the very beginning of my existence, it began to swing the scythe. Any minute I can become the victim of death. There were many misses of the scythe, but a true swing and strike is inevitable.
So he continues in this and with this almost poetic few paragraphs. He reminds us that we can resist this thought to go through this renunciation of the world. But he reminds us, well, look, who is living forever? Everybody is going to die. There is no person who can escape from this law. And even he goes further, he said that even memory of us disappears. Few generations. Who can remember now people who lived 100 years ago? It's difficult. Many of us in this parish, maybe the oldest one, would remember some founders of this parish. But younger generation, we don't know even names of these people. If they read, we read them, so okay. So, but this doesn't say anything to us if we read about names. But God remembers souls forever. So this is a reality which we should think of to, and it should move us to remember death in order to give good structure to our life, to really realize that, well, this world, if I give this role, my life, this world will forget me. So why not to give my life to God, who will never forget me? And this is something what is really very important part. It should have a very important part in our life, Christian life, because without this perspective, we can easily transform our faith to some kind of ethical system. No, something what makes us decent people here on earth. We can adjust gospel just to create some kind of illusion of perfect life on this world, and we easily forget eternal life we are heading to. And I think we have good experience from last year, even this year, when this pandemic started, and suddenly you could see how many people are in panic. This would not surprise if you talk to people who don't believe in God. They don't have this perspective of eternal life, and that they are in panic. That they are like really trying to find all kinds of solutions how to save this earthly life. You could understand. They have nothing more in their mind. Only these few years on this earth. But this was, for me, it was some kind of year of disappointment, because, well, I think I was not alone as a priest, that I was thinking that, all right, now I'm going to be very busy. I thought that, well, the people will start to come and to make general confessions and maybe to ask for direction, how to do, how to prepare themselves for this possibility of death, because this threat was like, it looked like horrible, big, but not a lot of, only a few. And people could go somewhere else too, you know, so I don't want to make harsh judgment, but still, I was not alone, and who had this experience as a priest that, something what we expected didn't happen. Yes, it might be the reason that, churches were closed and many people might have this thought that, that even these services are closed for people. But I don't think that it was the biggest part of problem. And I'm not making a judgment over that, but I think that it just shows that in some kind of problem how we understand Christian life. Maybe it shows the points to problem that what was neglected, this some kind of formation for how to approach the things. I think that this experience from last year, I think for church should be like advice what to do, what to remind, what to stress more. This is the reality of eternal life and how important is our preparation for eternal life. Yes, we are talking about that always, about eternal life, and we are looking for heaven and we are going to heaven, but there is something more. That should be something active in our life, like this remembrance of death as a daily practice, which would make this reality real for us, and it would force us really to go to bring these tears he was talking before about, that tears of repentance, tears of this desire for God's mercy, God's help, God's grace. Maybe can live holy life. Maybe we are able to be with Christ and find mercy through our giving ourselves to His hands. Questions or comments?
You're not alone in that, that's for sure. It was like November, December, and I had lunch with a couple of good, solid priests that I knew, and that had big congregations, and they were completely shocked. And they said, I thought we were doing a good job. We're offering confession a couple times a week, sometimes three times a week. He says, I thought I had a really, really vibrant, you know, faithful parish. And he says, I can see people being afraid of being in congested areas at, you know, a ball game or something like that. But he says the amount of fear that was happening inside my church, that people didn't even want to come anywhere near anyone else. He goes, what did I do wrong? He says, I thought these people were on fire for the faith, and, you know, they were with Christ, and they weren't fearful, and, your church is your refuge, and we should be helping each other. And he says, everybody was treating everybody like cancer, you know? And he goes, I got to go back to the drawing board. He goes, I don't know what I did wrong, you know? And the other priest was saying the same thing. He's like, I'm completely shocked. You know, he says, people that I thought really wanted to come in and support and help us, they headed for the hills. They never came back, you know, and they were all just kind of very shocked on how this whole thing happened. Not to mention, you know, the pandemic, but just in general how it affected everybody. He says, I think I have more people in my parish afraid of death and wanting me to shield them from death than for me to prepare them for death. You know?
Yeah.
Well, this is true, and I think that it, in some way this situation was a huge blessing for church, because I think that this, as you said, that I'm not alone, for sure, and I'm not, and I can hear that there are more and more there are discussions and these questions that what to find, what was neglected, and maybe we discovered areas we didn't touch correctly. You know, and many times you can assume that, well, everybody knows who is baptized, everyone knows how to live spiritual life, and what does it mean, but we realize that it is not correct view. And I have this hope that it will bring changes to some kind of pastoral work and to spiritual, some kind of formation in future. But if you approach this problem with this, that you are searching and you're trying to find what was the problem, it's okay, this is good, but I know several priests who went to really deep depression. They somehow lost hope. They said, so, okay, what I am doing? They felt like useless, like people, because they realized that something, especially they are in my age, and it seems like this whole life was like in vain, that they missed something. They were wrong in some way, and this dangerous feeling, though, that if you don't pay attention, it's really this depression can cause huge damage than blessing. So even if we found in ourselves that is some kind of this fear, and so it might be a good reminder for us too that, well, something is not right. That well, if I believe in Christ and I believe that He gave His life to open heaven for us and to give us eternal life. So it is so powerful message that, well, then what is death then? You know, it's just something what is gate to eternal life. It's something what is scary, because death is terrible, horrible. But there is this hope of bigger things and greater things. So this fear of death should be connected with this expectation of so big things that we are not even able to speak of or describe.
Something I've reflected on in the last year is that, you know, as we live in a culture that becomes increasingly accepting of sin, we're also living in a culture that becomes increasingly fearful of death.
Sure.
Where death is viewed as the worst thing that can happen to you. I think there is a very strong correlation between, a strong relationship between the two. Where,
yeah,
the more we sin, the more we're scared of death.
Yes, it's yes. Plus, as we this opening paragraph we were reading, that because another fear is coming, because we tied our life with these earthly pleasures, worldly pleasures, and we don't want to lose them. You know that this is another thing. All right. Can you continue?
Which I think
you're
right about, because I think you've been challenging a lot of us with the idea of, in a way, allowing God to take something away that's good for our greater salvation, that our own ideas of what we have for ourselves in some ways limit us, that we're afraid of even dying to those expectations, or whether it's family or what we had wanted or planned. So it's this, in a way, it's a constant death. Because the more we let go of those things, the less they control us, in a way.
Yeah, and this is the point, you know, that there is some kind of wisdom in, I don't know if this was written somewhere in monastery or doors, or somebody said this, I don't know, but remember that if you die before you die, you will not die when you die. Does that make sense? And this is truth, because to follow gospel, if you want to be followers of Christ, it means to follow his commandments. And if we try to follow commandments, it means to die every day to something what we like or we want, because these are passions, have craving for these things. If I crave for I remember one lady, she was telling me about her husband, and he was some kind of collector. I don't remember, something like funny he was collecting, I don't know, I remember, but he really lived with that. And she told, well, when he was like dying, he knew that he's dying. He said, oh, all this like effort given to this collection, now I have to leave it. And who will take care of this? Our children have no interest in this, and I didn't find anybody who would take care of this. And all these my years of effort in collecting will be in vain. She meant well when she was talking about his last days, but I realized how difficult it is to live this world if we are tied with things we allow in this world. And it, for him, it was collection, and it was really not make him to be really preparing fully for this moment of meeting with Christ, because his mind was tied with this collection. He was turning back to this, and he was sad and disappointed that. Nobody's going to take care of his work. And it would be interesting to know that, well, what are those ties in our life which take our attention, take our power of mind, and what we love, we incline to. It's really difficult when we find something, and it's difficult to give up all this. and but it's very good. Bless you. It is good daily preparation. If we try to explore our soul and our life and to try what holds us on this earth. So one advice I heard was that it's useful. But actually he's talking about that we should like do exercise. Am I ready to live everything now? Today, in this hour?
I just thought to myself, what if you go on vacation for 2 months, or I'm thinking in my own life, what if we went on vacation for 2 months or 3 months or something, and we had no phone or no internet and we had to leave everything behind? What would we have to prepare and put in line in order? And like, it's a lot of stuff. It's scary to think that we are so tied that and to think that we cut all of those things off, just it gives you an idea, gives me an idea where we are.
Yeah.
You know, work
that
and
we are not so free.
No.
You know, talking about that, I was thinking to myself today when I saw all of those poor people in Afghanistan that were trying to flee the country, and you think to yourself, you know, we never prepare ourselves for death, but I'm sure that was going through all of their minds. They're fleeing and fleeing with just what they have on their backs. And it just, I guess my heart just felt really sad for them, you know, that they have to experience something like that.
Yeah. Well, and another thing is that if we are trying to practice that, it leads us to some kind of wisdom in life, not only that we are preparing for eternal life through repentance, that we don't delay repentance, that we are trying to put our soul to order all times through repentance, but it brings like the fruit. Other fruit is that we start to live simply life, and even like difficulties come, so then we are prepared well for these difficulties. We can overcome them easier. I remember saying there were like old people. I'm old, but when I was young and old people were saying, there was one, like, they remembered that it was like famine, you know, for 1 year it was not good harvest and people lived from their fields. And it was really, people started to suffer in this area when I was born. And they were saying something what was very interesting. That poor people survived, rich people died. And this was very interesting because those rich people, they're like these richer farmers, they have more lands, and they had enough to survive. Just because of this, but because they were adjusted to maybe more luxury in life, they were not able to have this some kind of difficulties, small rations, but I think it didn't kill them, this lack of food, but fear that well, we are that they were afraid that they will not survive. This is just one moment. If those who were forced to have this moderation in eating, before because they were poor, because of the ability of the simplicity of food, they were able to survive this famine better than those who had abundance before. And the same thing is with everything that in these difficulties in life, those who are prepared for difficulties and they've trained somehow, they can survive easier or many difficulties. It's interesting. So, it's a little bit off from this remembrance of death, but it is good for us to keep this moderation and everything in order to remember death. All right, let's finish this dark topic. Okay, so another two paragraphs.
Death looks on the earthly works of man with a cold smile of derision. The builder erects huge buildings. The painter did not finish his beautiful painting. The genius made great plans for himself and begins to put them into practice. But unexpected and incorrigible death comes and makes impossible all of the great man's lofty plans. Cruel death only respects the slave of Christ. Since it was trampled down by Christ, it respects only the life in Christ. Often, a heavenly messenger comes to tell the servants of truth of their imminent passage into blessed eternity. Those who were prepared for death by their life, who were consoled both by their clear conscience and a message from above, quietly, with a smile on their faces, fall asleep into the long sleep of death.
Interesting that death, cruel death, only respects the slave of Christ. It means that the death doesn't have this cruel power over slave of Christ. And he uses, Branchino uses this connection, slave of Christ, very often. And probably we don't like that we are not slaves. But do you understand why he's using slave? Mm-hmm. So it is in I think it's Exodus, in Old Testament, there's this rule that, you know, if somebody owed money and didn't have money to pay off the debt, so this owner could take him and his family as a slaves. When this jubilee year came, every 7 years, he had to let them go free. But many times people who got to this situation and became slaves, it was, we have to understand that, well, this the master had to had the responsibility to take care, good care of them. So many times when this seventh year came and they realized, okay, I can be free, but to be slave is for me better because I have better life than when I was free. So they came to that master and said, well, I made decision that I and my family, we are staying in your house as slaves. So then this master should take like needle and to push needle through ear to the frame of doors. It was a sign that that person becomes his slave. He belongs to his house. But this, he became slave, the person, from own decision and because he loved his master and he made decision to stay with him forever. So this is why Brianchino uses this biblical term, only slave of Christ, that one who made free decision to stay forever with Christ. because he loves Christ and wants to be always with him. So this is the meaning of the slave of Christ, and he said death respects that person, because death doesn't have like this, not power, because everybody dies, but doesn't have this horrifying taste, horrifying like aspect of death, because those who love Christ and serve him, for them death is just this transformation from this life to eternal life.
Like,
what?
Like Dormition of Theotokos.
Like Dormition of Theotokos, we celebrate on Sunday, correct?
I think so. What struck me is there's, we, during Easter, we, you know, sing that, but we often, it becomes vain, that it's just it's something we sing during Easter, but yep, we don't relate it to anything. That, you know,
yeah,
like it, you know, death was trampled. Like it's,
yeah,
real, it's concrete, it's not just some pithy song.
Yeah, but you are right. And, but I think what was lost is that we like this idea that that was traps and heaven is open, eternal life is all for us, but it doesn't mean that fear is gone. It doesn't mean that this understanding changes our life and directs our life towards Christ. And Brancino here, he says that those who were prepared for death and they have like clear conscience, many times they receive this message from heaven that they are going to die. I don't know, did we read about that before, or I read it somewhere else? Is that
I think you shared it last week.
I can recall that, but it was written that those who try to, who through purification of mind and heart come to purity of heart, many times they know when they are going to die. It's something, this messenger comes in some kind of form, and they are dying in this peace and joy. It's all right.
Is that why Christ says pick up your cross and follow me? He's not saying pick up his cross and help him carry his cross. He's saying pick up your cross and follow me. There's nothing light about that. You know, that's an endure. You must endure in order to carry that cross. And he's saying follow me. I'm your example. So I never look at my death as being something simple. I think it's going to be something rough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be an endurement of, you know, if you're really following Christ, it's not going to be easy. Or he wouldn't have said it. I see the, you know what I mean? I see the expected, the death having less of a hold on you because you're prepared, because, you know what, I'm not worthy, you know? I should suffer. I got what's coming, you know, what's coming to me, I deserve. Where I think somebody that's in a life of luxury is going to have to struggle with that because they're losing everything.
Yeah.
They're not used to enduring any type of physical pain or hardship. It's a pampered life.
It's interesting, though, that you assume that death is going to be something that happens when we're old.
Exactly.
You know, and I come from it from the fact that I've had three cousins die in car accidents.
Sure.
I've had suicides.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen kids die of cancer. That it's not something far off.
Right.
And not even, in a way, not even deserved. I mean, obviously, it's part of a condition, but it's that there's this, they didn't get to repair.
Right.
It's they walk out the door one day, get in a truck, and that truck gets hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, it's true. I remind me my cousin, he was 3 years younger than, or maybe 4 years younger than I am. He lived in Switzerland and with his family, and they were traveling for Christmas home to visit his father. And in Slovakia, when they enter Slovakia, something in the center of Slovakia, they stopped for lunch. And when they brought soup, he started to eat, and suddenly his head just went down, and he was dead. His heart collapsed, and he was strong young man, very strong. And for me, I still remember him during each liturgy, you know, praying for him, because this is my question. It was not for sure he didn't expect to die as a 31 or 33 years old. So it was a shock for all of us, and still praying for him. Yes, this is true.
I think there are many cases that I actually had one case last week. I think that God protects and gives chance to those who are His. I went to see one old lady, and I gave her anointing, and a few days later she died. You know, and if her husband didn't show up, she would not receive communion and final blessing. So I think that if we are Christ, and if we prepare for confession, for death, He will make sure to make sure that you are ready to die. And I know you have many cases like that.
Yeah. Well, when we are, oh good, you something reminding me what I would not say, that we might be, when we hear this demanding teaching, remembrance of death and preparing ourselves, and we can be scared a little bit because we see and experience our own weakness, that how difficult it is for us to live this life. Even if we are trying, we still can find that something's lacking. If we compare ourselves with this teaching of saints, so we say, well, I am not there yet, I'm trying, but well, it's not stop like fighting with my passions, my sins, weaknesses, and we can easily can lose hope. But we have to remember that God is merciful. God loves us, and He will use each this crack to flood our soul with grace. And if we are trying, and even we don't reach perfectness, but we are in this process that yes, I want to live like Christ is teaching us. I want to prepare myself for heaven. I want to be prepared for heaven. I want that. And we are trying to do this. God will help us. Second year I was here, there was one lady, she was dying. You probably remember when it was our second, third visit in hospital of her. And she was repeating these words that, well, I know that I'm dying, you know, and just Father, tell everybody there, forgive everybody. And please tell them that I ask for forgiveness because I love them all. And for me it was, look, how God's grace is working. She was really putting all things somehow to order. She was cleaning everything, preparing her soul. And this was very powerful for me to hear that. And what she did was really something what you have to, and actually this was not her character, you know. She would not easily say these words, you know. But at the time it was like somehow this meekness came to her, and this some kind of understanding of the most important things. It was very powerful to be there with her, and you could experience her peace. There was no some kind of fear and something. It was really very powerful. You could feel that God's grace is in work. So let's not lost hope. If we are trying and still we confess and we ask God for forgiveness, for help, that we are not perfect yet. So have hope. We have to have hope in His help, because He will use even this small part we were able to achieve to give us His grace and make us ready for that, because He is not like these cops in Slovakia who are waiting behind the bush trying to get you, you know. No, he signals from it's so funny. So he's good God, and He wants our salvation. He wishes our salvation. Okay, we didn't finish that, but well, hopefully next time we will.